The last time I podcasted, I informed all of you that I was going to dedicate the next 4 or 5 or 6 episodes specifically to talking about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. I skipped over it in the past. Now I'm coming back to it, and that's what I'm going to do. And now I'm lying. I'm not lying. I'm exaggerating. Well, it's actually probably a lie because it won't all be about that. My name is Mike McCafferty. This is a podcast called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. It's also a video called I Just Want to Talk About Star Trek. You can watch on our Facebook page. I make no money off that. Make no money off of any of this. It's fine. At one point in time, they did send me a bunch of games and memorabilia. I kind of bullied this game company to send me all their games for free, and they did. And then I never played them. We tried playing one. I don't think we even released that podcast. Anyway. And then my wife eventually threw them away. So that's on me. That's on me. And this is on me, promising we were going to talk about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, from here until episode 200 or 201 or whatever it is, however long it takes me to get through that. But one of the reasons I didn't talk about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan initially is because it's such a tremendous undertaking. So I started thinking about it. And I started, you know, delving into it. And I think the first one I'm going to do beyond the everything wrong with Wrath of Khan was the music. And so I started listening to that again. But then in the interim, well, my friend Matt Stompy Thompson got me an account for Paramount Plus, and he said, "Oh, you got to start watching Discovery." And then I just didn't. But then on Amazon, of all things, came something which called me more than Discovery at the time, and was sort of an answer. And so I'm jumping out of my own decision to talk about The Wrath of Khan, to talk about this, because Amazon has a show called Shatner in Space. Now, you recall that one of my previous episodes is called Bill Shatner in Space. So this is the companion piece. So maybe it's just an exaggeration, because maybe this is just part two, which should actually be kind of nested in with part one. That's a total lie. I had no idea this was coming out. And then with not too much fanfare, dropped. It's one episode. It's a documentary that's about 50 minutes long. If you have Amazon Prime, just go watch it. And so I watched it, and I kind of sat in over the holidays trying to figure out what to do with it and what, you know, working on other stuff. And then a couple days ago, actually yesterday, I started looking back into this and looking at Bill Shatner. I just typed in, you know, William Shatner in the Amazon section and got all these strange things. He has a show called Bill Shatner's Gonzo Ballet, which is him talking about his music, which is talking about him as a college student being so lonely. And then somehow some of his words are put to music and to a ballet company in Toronto. It's just insane. The amount of things he's done is insane. Looking at the totality of Bill Shatner's performances, the music, the books, everything. Going back to watching him in this weird movie called The People, 1972 ABC Movie of the Week, with Kim Darby, who was in Miri. Hey, Miri. She was Miri. Back with her again. Watching an old cut of him in a TV show, or maybe it's a play called The Defenders. But it brought me back to this. So the long thing I'm saying is that this is a little more of a deep dive in Bill Shatner, because I have seen him in so many different iterations. I have seen him do his music. I've listened to his music. I've read his books. He keeps on, you know, pushing out more and more books. I've seen him turn away from Star Trek. I've seen him turn to Star Trek. I've seen some of his bad films, The Devil's Reign, and the one where he's a priest up on the airplane. You know, I've seen his good films. He's a good actor. I'm not going to tell you he's a bad actor. He sometimes becomes a bad Bill Shatner, trying to act like Bill Shatner. But when he was in The Defender just a couple of minutes ago, I was like, yeah, he's good. Even in this movie, The People, he's not doing a bad job. He's a competent, good actor. But there's one thing I'd never seen Bill Shatner be Bill Shatner. All I'd seen him be is Bill Shatner. I'm making air quotes here. If you go to the Facebook page, you'll see this video. Bill Shatner in Bill Shatner's Gonzo Ballet, Bill Shatner in Transform Man, Bill Shatner in Get a Life, my book, Bill Shatner in whatever else he makes, the Unexplained with a little, the X is red to make you think it's the X-Files. So much content he produces. And he never just is. And then I watched this special. I think I might have seen it. So I just want to go through this very, very quickly, because this is the companion piece. This is the thing before when I was railing about, I was like, why doesn't he own up to being Bill Shatner? Being Captain Kirk in this. Why doesn't he say I'm Captain Kirk? And before I started watching this, Shatner in Space, I thought, oh, this is the reason why in all these interviews, because they're doing a documentary for Amazon, and he wants to give that gold to the actual show. All right, so I'm going to play a couple clips here. I'm just kind of like float through it a little bit. Let's see. Let's put to share this screen with the audio. And, you know, this is for educational purposes. This is for commentary, criticism. Okay, there we go. So there he is. So right now I'm watching Shatner in Space. If you want to watch along, we're at about the 340 mark. And let's just, the first thing I want to point out is, well, we start out with him actually in the capsule getting ready to launch in Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos' spaceship that takes you kind of sort of into space, but really just kind of a little bit of, you know, high orbit, get a little bit of weightlessness, and you go straight back down. Better than Virgin Galactic, not as good as SpaceX. And the first thing I want to show you, which got me to sit up, is past that kind of little teaser, like, oh my God, maybe the ship's never going to take off. Of course, this aired after we saw the ship take off and he landed. He's alive, so it's all fine. But this is Bill visiting the Blue Origins facility 2 years before. Let's see, do I have sound on this? Oh my gosh. Let me stop this. Hold on a second. All right, stop that. And then I have to go to this and I have to say the speakers. No, the speakers are right. So why isn't this playing? Oh, did I mute this? I didn't mute this. Where's the audio coming from? There we go.
Oh, how are you?
Hey, you know what? Sometimes I mess up. I'm not going to cut that. That's fine. You're going to be okay with that. We're all going to be okay with this, right? All right. So we're at Blue Origin and Bill Shatner is walking in. And the first thing I see, actually, let me see, does it even go back to this? Oh, yeah. 2 years before launch. So we're watching some clips of Star Trek. For some reason, we're watching Next Generation movie and Star Trek Beyond clip. This is the most baffling thing as well about this, and I'll talk about it later, is that any clip they show about Star Trek has nothing, almost nothing to do with Bill Shatner or Captain Kirk. That was Chris Pine's Kirk. And then we had, I think an earlier clip, we had the Enterprise E or something. So
I have a kind of story to tell you. I'm really going to go into space, I think. I mean, there's a romance, a beauty, a mysterious beauty about space that I'd like to take a look at.
There's the Enterprise D. So why would you show these clips when the show is about Captain James Tiberius Kirk, played by William Shatner, not played by Chris Pine? Anyway, so we go to Blue Origin 2 years
early. What led to this moment is my fortuitous meeting.
And the first shot we see is of the Enterprise A, the beautiful Enterprise A sitting in Blue Origin. And I think this isn't a replica. I think this is the real thing. Because then after that, we see in glass is the space station. Space Station 1, Space Dock 1 from Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock, encased in glass. I'm saying, oh, wow, he's got those models. Those are really beautiful. They're really nice. And I start looking at it. And you see Bezos walk up. Rocket engines. And there is the glass. And there is this Enterprise. And they're having this handshake right in front of the Enterprise. Oh, my God. And then you think, wait a minute. Jeff Bezos is worth about $60 billion, maybe post-divorce, maybe less. He just bought those. Those are not replicas. Those are the real ones. Because there's little placards underneath them.
Company is working on.
And we have him shaking hands with Bill Shatner right in front of it. And Bill Shatner doesn't even notice them. I want to go back here.
Jack, how are you?
I'm so good yourself.
Company is working on new.
He shakes hands right with literally the Starship Enterprise 1701-A right behind him, and Bill Shatner can't even be bothered enough to turn to his left and see it. Now, I don't know if he even like recognized Space Doc, you know, like from, oh, that was that movie, but he has to know what that is, right? He has to know that that is in fact the Starship Enterprise that he was on in movies, you know, 1 through 6, right? Well, you know, 4, not so much, but. So in some ways it was like, are we really going to not pay attention to this? And in other ways, it's like, dear God, Jeff Bezos has bought these, not for Shatner. They're just sitting there. They're just sitting in the lobby of Blue Origin. So that was the first thing that kind of got me on this, saying, oh, there's something here I'm missing. The next clip I want to show you is, I started to turn my attention to Bezos. And of course, the documentary does too. And we start hearing about his backstory growing up in Texas.
Into that library. And over the course of a few summers, I just worked my way through all the classics, Asimov and Heinlein and so on and so on.
In third or fourth grade, I came across this show called Star Trek. Star Trek is this incredible future utopia. Made a bunch of people want to help try to invent that future. Since I was a teenager, I focused on going to space in order to save the Earth. I really believe that's essential. I don't think it's a question. I think it's 100% needs to happen.
Okay. So this other... Oops.
Take time.
Okay, so the other portion of this, as we keep moving forward on this, is that all of a sudden, oh, Bezos was a big sci-fi nerd. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. So he really, he likes science fiction. He likes Star Trek. He watched Star Trek. Yes, okay, I get it. So all of a sudden, I'm kind of like, yeah, maybe I'm more on board with Bezos than I thought I was. Now, don't hate me for that. Don't quote me of all sorts of Amazon, you know, Amazon does this, Amazon does that. Hey, that is what it is. But here's a guy who made $60 billion and has basically decided to build a rocket ship to put his childhood idol into space. If I had $60 billion and I could get Bill Shatner on a rocket ship, damn straight I would. But suddenly it makes sense why he put him on the ship. It wasn't just a publicity stunt. Yes, of course it was part of that. But the other part is that Bezos is just a little kid with this. And we'll see that in a second. Now, I said to you before, I thought, oh, well, with this Amazon series, of course, he's going to talk more about being Captain Kirk and how much he loves it and how much, you know, like being, you know, this is afforded all these opportunities. And yet, as we go, he tells his wife and children, daughters, that he's going into space. And hey, this is on me. I couldn't tell which one from which one. They're all about the same age. So Bill remarried young, and there you go. But Bill goes to a convention. Now, we saw him earlier in the year, me and my son, earlier at the Star Trek convention in Vegas. He was one of the few people who showed up, COVID be damned, and they went to the New York one, and they show some clips from that. But I want you to listen to him talk about Star Trek in these larger terms here.
Captain Kirk, it's life-changing in its way for so many people. There's a great deal of curiosity about this fictional character, Captain Kirk, going into space, but I am an actor that played the role. I mean, we think of the astronauts as supermen, but they're just human beings filled with the same fears that I have.
All right, so this is the thing which bothers me. So he says this role of Captain Kirk has affected so many people over the years. Now, I understand he's kind of giving a more of a a kind of a larger, you know, 10,000 foot look at it, but he still refers to it as this fictional character has moved people. And he still seems to be so far removed from the effect. He still seems to be in some ways he feels as though he's the alien, or we're all the aliens, and he's the only person sane. And he's looking at us through some sort of anthropomorphic or anthropological study, as though, like, my goodness, how strange all these people are. Bill, the strange thing is that after 50 years, you still don't understand how important this role has been and how you should, for just a couple minutes or a couple hours, or, hey, go up in outer space, just admit that, yeah, I'm a little bit Captain Kirk, and I'm excited to go up there as Captain Kirk. But instead, he distanced himself, labeling this as a fictional character. Now, I also have to say, once again, I don't understand the clips they're showing in reference to this. The clip they show is, as he's talking about this, is from Turnabout Intruder, where he gets zapped. Oh God, what's her name? Janice. Her name is it Janice? Dr. Janice Lester. Yes, my Dr. Janice Lester, like, pins him to that weird artifact wall. And that's what we're going to use as a shot of Captain Kirk, him being, like, thrown against this wall as he's talking about the fictional aspects of this. And then, as they go on, we show up.
I have noted the passage of the Enterprise on its way to whatever awaits it. Finest starship in the fleet.
And that's the question I'm having.
So you might recognize that one from the immunity factor, when Spock is inside the big amoeba and the Enterprise goes in there and he watches it go, because he's in the shuttlecraft. It's like, oh no, they're gone. Why are we watching Spock? It's a clip of Spock. Then we have kind of a stock shot of the Enterprise, like, circling. I don't know if it's circling Earth. I can't not to go back, take a look at that. Maybe it's from assignment Earth, who knows? And then we get two low resolution, like, standard definition, unremastered shots from the Doomsday Machine, not of the Enterprise, but instead of the battle damaged USS Constellation flying into the Doomsday Machine. And so even as Spock's voiceover is talking about the Enterprise, for unknown reasons, why do we have Spock talking about the Enterprise? He's not going into space. It's not even the Enterprise. It's the Constellation. The use of clips in this show really baffled me. Now, part of it makes me think that this is both a Paramount and Viacom. You know, Paramount and Viacom own all of these clips. So maybe this is the best that they could license from. Maybe said, hey, we need some clips for Star Trek. And Paramount's like, ha, you got it. Let's send Turnabout Intruder. We also have some shots from Plato's stepchildren, which I don't understand that either. Man trap. None of these are reflective of the best moments of Captain Kirk, of space exploration. They're some of the worst clips you could find. And yes, there they are. So part of me thinks that this is sort of, because, I mean, Star Trek, some of it's going, some actually TNG left Amazon, I think yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. So in some ways, Amazon doesn't really have a claim to this, and Paramount doesn't want people's eyeballs on Shatner in space on Amazon. So there's a little bit of a clip war here, I have a feeling. All right, let's move on. I talked a little bit about Bezos' love for science fiction. Bezos takes Shatner to one of his many haciendas somewhere, and he has his mother send him an envelope. Bezos' mother sent him an envelope, and he wants to show Shatner something, so he pulls out of his envelope.
So,
except this, sign something. I can't sign.
You don't need to sign anything. So, this is something that my mother has saved. So, in fourth grade, I made these, and so she went and dug around and found these.
Are you serious?
And this is a medical tricorder. This this is a communicator.
Oh my God, Jeff.
And this is one of Spock's science tricorders.
That's hysterical, man.
And we would make, these are just the surviving ones. We had dozens of these things.
And you played with this?
We played in fourth grade, me and my friends, Dean and Kyle, the three of us, played Star Trek all summer long. the favor I.
And then he asks if he wants to take him to space. So in that clip, he pulls out these little adorable pieces of paper. That like one's a tricorder, has a little string around it. They're just pieces of paper cut out. One's a communicator that's folded, and the other one's another. It's a medical tricorder. And he and his friends played Star Trek in the fourth grade all summer long. Again, think what you want of Jeff Bezos. Maybe he's a robot. Maybe he is a horrible person, but he played Star Trek when he was in fourth grade, maybe before whatever happened, whatever you feel about it happened. But back then, he had a dream to be Captain Kirk. And now he's sitting at this weird ranch out in the middle of the desert with Captain Kirk, with actually William Shatner. He sees Captain Kirk. But once again, Bill Shatner looks at it as some sort of archaeological find from some alien race. He says, that's hysterical, instead of, my God, that's so wonderful. This guy who has paid for a giant rocket ship to fly you into outer space, and you still can't accept it. All right, so... You know, I don't want to tread on too harsh of you know, of this Amazon trail. I don't want to stand for Jeff Bezos, but I did come away thinking, you know, I have to give him credit at least for that. At least he's gonna, you know, toss his childhood out. He's gonna get Captain Kirk out in outer space. So let's skip ahead. They shoot Shatner in outer space, and we didn't see it in the actual clips, like on the news or anything like that, but this is like the 60 seconds they had up there, or 3 minutes, however it was, of weightlessness when Shatner went up to space. I just want to play this little clip here when they finally, and you can hear him sort of narrating it. So they're in Blue Origin. Actually, you know, the cockpit is pretty nice. It seems like, I'd go up to that.
Oh my God.
That's it. I got it.
Oh my God.
That wow. Was no simulation.
Oh my God.
Holy cats. Oh my God. Is this wild?
Oh,
weightlessness. Oh Jesus.
Oh, Carmeline.
Weightlessness.
This is nuts.
Oh my God. Oh wow. Nothing, no description can equal this. Oh my God.
This is cool. That's so cool.
And that's what we get. We get him floating for a few minutes saying, oh my God. Wow. Jesus. No words. And I'm okay with that. Now, this isn't Captain Kirk. This is Bill Shatner floating up in space. We're getting closer. As we're leaving orbit of Earth, we're actually getting closer to him being more of a human being, having a more genuine reaction. So close. And then he starts narrating a little bit, no words can describe, and then probably cut off. You know, it was nice seeing him in outer space for a little bit, but that's not the actual moment I want to talk about. The moment I want to talk about is when he lands. Now, I think I talked about it before, where Jeff Bezos comes running in and he's like, oh, what was it like? Oh, we got to have champagne, as he's giving a talk. And so then he comes back to him. We actually don't see that because it's not a good look for Bezos. Bezos is just kind of a crazy person. He's hugging his girlfriend, you know, his younger girlfriend. And you know, he's running around popping champagne. He didn't go to space, but he's super excited. And then he circles back to Shatner, and Shatner tries to, William Shatner tries to talk about the experience just for a second. Sits around here.
I can't tell you what you have done. Everybody in the world needs to do this. Everybody in the world needs to see I'm still too.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, you know, the little things like weightlessness, but to see the blue cover go whip by and now you're staring into blackness. That's the thing.
And there it was. For that little bit of time, that little moment when he's talking about being able to see the world and he starts to tear up.
I'm still too.
Oh my God.
It was unbelievable.
Where he sees the curvature of the earth, where he feels weightlessness. People talk about that. Astronauts talk about being able to, we wish we could get everyone up in outer space and see the earth and see where we live and see what it's like to get that, to understand how fragile it is. And I think for that one moment, Bill Shatner, when he went out in outer space, when he's down here processing it, he becomes a human being just for 1 second, just for 10 seconds, and he tears up. Now, Bezos can't handle it. He seems like Data at that point in time. He seems emotionally, he quickly puts his hand on him, to kind of like reassure him when he should have just let him enjoy that moment, break down and cry. Just savor those emotions of what it is. But he brings him back down to earth. And you can hear the human being that is Bill Shatner, one who is one with all of us earthlings, come back down to Bill Shatner, the narrator, Bill Shatner, the actor, Bill Shatner, the performer, Bill Shatner, the horse lover.
Unbelievable. I mean, you know, the little things like weightlessness, but to see the blue cover go whip by and now you're staring into blackness. That's the thing.
He's narrating.
There is mother.
And he is doing his job as a performer.
But what you see is black. What you have given me is the most profound experience I can imagine. I'm so filled with emotion about what just happened.
Bill breaks down again there a little bit, and Bezos takes off his glasses and puts his hand on his shoulder again. Again, he can't process this. I don't think Bezos has, he's like, what is happening? They should just let him have the moment, because here's this wonderful moment that we all get to finally see, stripping down every single layer. It took 90 years in a space flight to finally get to the man behind Captain Kirk, the man behind Bill Shatner, this human being. At the end, Jeff Bezos says he wanted to send Captain Kirk up in space. It was his hero, but he has more respect now for William Shatner, and that's his new hero. I don't know if I buy that. I think if you're going to spend, you know, billions of dollars to send your idol up in space, it would have been nice to get Captain Kirk up there for a second. Why not just put him in yellow? Put him in yellow. It's your ship. Send him up there. Put him in the suit. Put him in the monster maroon. I'm happy I saw this. At the end of the day, I'm happy that I watched this. If you get a chance to watch it, you know, I mean, it's like a solid B+. It's interesting. If you're a Shatner aficionado, if you really want to see that moment, that's fine. If you're not, it's also fairly interesting. There's a lot of filler, you know, but it's worth your time. If you have Amazon Prime, don't go out and get it. You know, you could also watch The People. You could watch The Defenders, also on Amazon Prime. You can hunt down old Shatner moments there, see him going through variations of the persona of William Shatner. But if you really want to see the man, the human being, break through the trophosphere of all his performances, you got to watch Shatner in Space. All right. I promise nothing. We deny nothing. But we are circling back to Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan after this. Maybe this is part of it. Maybe this is part two. Because I finally got a chance to really understand who Bill Shatner is. I finally got a chance to see him in a different light. So now I can move forward. Does that work? Is that a spin? Do you like that spin? You love that spin. I love that spin. Hey, there's no music at the end of this because it's just too hard to put it through the machine. I'm just going to upload this. That's what you get. But stick around, because now we're going to go back to it. Next time, we're going to jump into James Horner's music, Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. I can't wait. And neither can you, because I'm Mike McCafferty. And you know what I want to do? I just want to talk about Star Trek.